Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And this is our Tis the Damn Season Christmas slash...
Sounds of the season, Tis the Damn Season, ho, ho, ho.
Christmas is when you were mine.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, so basically I don't think that we are like mentally equipped to be getting into 2015 right now at the end of this year. Like, it's just, it's too much to do. So we came up with some fun things to talk about with you today. We also have a few things on the docket to catch up on Taylor Swift-wise. But before we started, I wanted to let everyone know that our Buy Me a Coffee page has been having some issues. And PayPal has forced me basically to refund everyone. So I have refunded all of the money that we collected. We'll look into it and then we'll let you know when it's live, because we do intend to start merch. We've even shared some designs and talked about what we want it to look like. So that's on the cards for 2022 for sure. And Madeline, we should be so proud of ourselves because this year we made 6 episodes.
And that, I feel like that's like a record for us.
It must be. We have 17 episodes and we've been doing it for 3 years. So I guess so.
I feel like it was the middle year where we really let things kind of fall out, but that was COVID. So hello.
Exactly.
Pandemic.
Leave us alone.
Yeah.
But so this year we successfully made it all the way through the end of the Red era and the first part of the 1989 era. And we had 3 album episodes because Taylor is psychotic. So we had Evermorology, Fearless Taylor's Version, and Red Taylor's Version. Madeline, can you guess which episode was the most popular out of all of those episodes?
Red, I would guess.
The Taylor's Version?
Am I wrong? Yeah, Red, the Taylor's Version, yes.
You are wrong. Our Evermorology was the most popular episode.
I almost guessed that.
Okay. And of all time, the Folklorology episode is our most popular.
See, that's why I didn't say Evermore. I was like, I know it's the Folklore one, but I guess Evermore, second place. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She always has a cross to bear being put second all the time. Poor Evermore. Does.
Did you see last night? Everybody was fucking arguing about which one's better, Folklore or Evermore. And it made me so fucking mad. Not because people are saying Folklore is better. Like, obviously, we've all decided that. It's like, why are you sitting here arguing? Everybody knows that. Can't you just let us be in fucking peace pretending that Evermore is the better one? Like, can't you just leave us alone for like 10 seconds?
Let it go.
Yeah.
You know what?
Evermore is never going to win. It's never going to win Album of the Year. So it's already automatically not as good as Folklore because Folklore has a fucking Grammy. So
it's true. It's true. And you know what? I always think of your description of Red for Evermore in that, like, it has the highest highs and the lowest lows, and that makes it an excellent album and also incomparable to Folklore, because Folklore is like front to back, basically, with the exception of like one song. It is a front to back banger album. But Evermore has like these intense, like, there are songs on Evermore that supersede everything on Folklore, but as an album, they're like, they're not sisters, they're cousins, you know?
Well, similar to how you feel about Red, I do not share this view. I feel like Evermore is back-to-back booty slapping, so whatever. Everybody's entitled to their wrong opinion, so.
You really think that Evermore is back-to-back bangers? You really think that?
That's how I personally experience the record. I'm not saying I'm right.
Champagne Problems?
I'm just saying, for me, I listen to it, bitch. The only one that I don't listen to is It's Time to Go. But I can say the same thing about Folklore because I don't fucking listen to Epiphany. Do you, bitch?
No.
That's what I thought.
But I don't stand, I actually like at this point don't stand one over the other. Like, I actually don't think I have a preference. I like them both the same.
Okay. That's
because
cool.
I listen to the highs from Evermore more than I revisit Folklore in general.
Do you have like a playlist that's like, if Folklore and Evermore was one album, this is what I would want to be on it? I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, Seth. Yep. It's I love that playlist, baby. That's the banger of the century.
Honestly, I mean, just in retrospect, like, we were so lucky to get these two albums. I'm really glad they exist.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's the stopper right there. We are blessed to have these records, no matter what anybody says. Yeah.
So on the docket today, we have a few things that have happened since our last episode. The first one is that All Too Well went number one, and it dethroned Easy on Me. And we also got the Sad Girl Autumn version. So, Madeline, what are your thoughts on this whole All Too Well debacle?
I kind of can't believe that All Too Well has gone number one. Never mind the fact that it has gone number one being a re-release. Never mind the fact that it has gone number one being 10 minutes long. Never mind the fact that somebody finally dethroned that boring ass fucking Adele song. Mm-hmm. I just like, I literally cannot believe it. Like, I don't even have the words to tell you like what a fucking accomplishment it truly is that a 10 minute song is at the top of the fucking charts. It's insanity. I'm speechless.
For everyone who says that her imperial phase is over, like, you guys, it's just beginning.
No, it's scary.
Again,
it's very scary.
It is going on once again before our very eyes.
I remember back in the day when the Red Era was happening, I was like, there's no fucking way that Taylor can become more famous, more big than she is right now. And then fucking 1989 mm-hmm. happened. So it's like, I feel like when she re-releases 1989, which I suspect is next, but I can't prove, I think it's going to be even more chaotic than this. Although I don't know what song from 1989 re-released could possibly go number one, like All Too Well, but you never fucking know. She's like a fucking swami, like a messiah. I don't know
exactly.
She can pull anything out of her butt.
That's the thing, is that I keep saying as well, like, no, surely there's no vault that can outdo Red. But at this point, like, I don't trust my fucking instincts. Like, I really just think that Taylor's gonna do whatever she's gonna do, and it's going to shock the hell out of me, and I'm just gonna have to deal with it.
Well, here's what I think. I think that the 1989 vault is rich because she edited that record down, I believe, very much, because it's short, and we know that she was talking. She had shit to fucking say.
See, I
disagree. I believe that there are gems.
I think there's nothing.
If there is another good vault, it's going to be 1989. That's what I believe. Speak Now, maybe, but it's a little bit more debatable.
What did you think of the Sad Girl version of All Too Well? I actually really liked it. It didn't feel like a useless version to me.
That is the version that I listen to, actually. I don't typically listen to the Jack Antonoff. I listened to the Sad Girl Autumn version.
Because he fucked it up.
He did, and I don't like it. I'll say it loud and I'll say it proud.
if they had the SNL version on streaming, that's the one that I would listen to all the time.
Something that I think about often is that I wish that Who Was She had as much like emphasis as it did on the SNL version. If she fucking screamed that into the mic and all the music stopped, just like it did on SNL.
The wind was in her hair. The leaves were on the floor. Oh my God, it was insane.
Perfect. So yeah, the original version of All Too Well 10, I'm just kind of like, whatever. I mean, I'll listen to it, but I definitely prefer the Aaron Dessner Sad Girl Autumn version.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And it's like, there's a slightly different vocal arrangement too. And that's kind of how I imagined her playing it in rehearsal. You know, like when it was first kind of put down, granted it was a guitar probably, but that kind of muted, like soft, sad, warbling version. I think that is probably the most true to the original idea that came out of her brain in the first place.
Yes, I agree. I mean, there are moments definitely in the Sad Girl version where I wish she would like fucking start screaming. but I do appreciate the softer version because I feel like it's definitely necessary to have a quieter version of that song.
We also never got an acoustic version of All Too Well. It was always the, you know, the slow start and the build up to the absolute banshee screaming.
Well, I wish that she would hit up the piano and like do it acoustic on the piano, because that would take it to a dimension that I don't think people are ready for. But I think she knows it would be too powerful, and that's why she hasn't delivered it yet.
That's why she doesn't do a lot of things that we want her to do, because she's too powerful. what did you think of the old timey version of Christmas Tree Farm?
I haven't heard it. I have not heard it.
Can I be honest? I haven't heard it either.
we have nothing to add. I'm fucking pissed off she put that shit on Amazon. So that's all I have to say about it.
I forgot. It's only on Amazon. Also, I don't like this song. So not good
for me.
You don't
like Christmas Tree Farm? Did you just say I don't like Christmas Tree Farm? Christmas Tree Farm?
In my notes for the podcast, I wrote, why does Madeline think Christmas Tree Farm is a good song? So please take it away.
It's not that I think that it's a good song. It's that I think that it could solve every major world crisis if people only gave it a fucking chance. That's what I think. Good song is out of the fucking question. I believe Christmas Tree Farm is the world. That's what I think. So you should start thinking long and hard about your place in this universe, my friend.
Do you think that your heart is a Christmas Tree Farm?
Yes. It's literally there all the time. I have Christmas Tree Farm merch. Not even official Taylor
you
Swift.
You do?
Merch.
That
I
is
just have shit. I'm line. Literally looking at a reusable shopping bag that says
there is
Christmas
something
Tree
wrong
Farm
with
on
you.
It. No. No. Do you just like not like Christmas music?
I love Christmas music. I just think it's annoying and corny. But the very end goes off.
What do you think about the live version from Jingle Bell Ball or whatever it's called?
I do like that. And she looks really cute.
Yeah, it's good. She looks cute. Vocals are snatching.
And
I can't believe you don't like Christmas
Tree. I have a fun little Christmas game to play. And it's Fuck, Marry, Kill. And I'm going to give you 3 Taylor Swift songs. You must fuck, marry, and kill one of them. So up first is Silent Night, Santa Baby, and the Birthday Boy's song, Christmas Must Be Something More.
All right. I would definitely fuck Santa Baby. I would marry Silent Night, and I would kill Christmas Must Be Something More.
I can't remember where you like talked about Christmas Must Be Something More, but I think about it all the time, and I just want to like die laughing. What if ribbons and bows didn't mean a thing? What if?
I feel like it was on Instagram.
It might have been, or it could have been on our podcast even.
Oh shit, maybe. Have we ever talked about the Christmas album on the podcast?
I think we did in the very early episodes, but also like I have amnesia when it comes to the podcast. Like once we're done recording, I don't remember what we said.
When people are like, hey Madeline, remember when you said this?
Nope.
I'm like, huh?
Okay, so Christmas Must Be Something More. I just like really would like, I think like a 3-hour dissection of it from Madeline.
There's a lot to unpack. There's so fucking much. Where to begin? The weird religious vibe to it, which, okay, it's a Christmas album. We're talking about Christ, the baby Jesus, if you will. Mm-hmm. But here's to the birthday boy who saved our lives. And the thing is, here's what gets me. You look, there's a co-writer. She can't be blamed for all of this. You look in the notes and you see who wrote that fucking song. And it says one name. And it says Taylor Swift. So you tell me I can't even get into it. The song is the worst song she has ever written. And I will stand by that.
It really is up there for the worst of the worst. I don't know what she was trying to achieve with this. Was she trying to be like pious?
She's trying to prove that she's a country bitch. She's trying to prove she's country and she believes in Jesus.
If anything, it proves that she has no interest in Christianity, because the most devout Christians, I don't think they've ever referred to the great JC as the birthday boy who saved their lives.
The birthday boy.
The birthday boy. It's like, yeah, okay, can't... that's God, Taylor.
And it just sounds so disingenuous too. That's the thing. Like, I don't believe her when she says, here's to the birthday boy. I don't believe that she's truly toasting.
Nope.
To Jesus Christ. I don't believe that.
She's being fake.
What if ribbons and bows didn't mean a thing? Well, what if they didn't?
well, they don't. I mean, that's the thing. Is that ribbons and bows alone mean nothing?
What if Christmas carols were all a lie? What would you find? It's so bad. Like, if you read the lyrics to yourself, you're like,
no, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh. I will say one thing about it. It is original. Nobody else.
It's never been done before, and it's never been done since.
It will never be done again, and thank you for that.
Yep. It is a unique... Well, you know, someone had to do it, I guess. Someone had to fall on the sword.
And she did it with grace.
Thank you, Taylor. So for me, I would See, I want to kill Silent Night because I think that her arrangement of it is literally the worst thing I've ever heard. So I'm going to kill Silent Night. I'm going to fuck Christmas Must Be Something More. And I'm going to marry Santa Baby.
Okay. I love that. I love that. I love that. I respect it.
Oh, next up. I feel like I know what your... Actually, no, never mind. Maybe this will be a surprise to me. Fuck, Marry, Kill, White Christmas, Christmas Is When You Were Mine, and Last Christmas.
All right. Fuck Last Christmas. Mm-hmm. Marry Christmas Is When You Were Mine.
Yep.
And kill White Christmas hard and heavy. Worst version of White Christmas I've ever fucking heard. Big time.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. But do you really think the version of White Christmas is worse than her version of Silent Night?
You know, it's funny because when I think about like the worst like version of a traditional Christmas song that she has done, I don't think Silent Night. Personally, I think Santa Baby. I think that's honest to God the worst song on the record. Well, not as bad as Christmas Must Be Something More, obviously, but just the arrangement and like how it's done, I can't listen to it. The only reason I said I would fuck it is because there's a sexual energy to that song that cannot be denied. Right. So, yeah. So Silent Night to me, I actually remember, I don't listen to this song like ever anymore, but I remember when I was in high school, I would turn that shit up and bang it. I was like, this shit is amazing.
That's crazy to me because the arrangement for Silent Night, it's like a different song. It's not Silent Night. Like it's not the Silent Night that I know and love. And I feel like that's not one of those songs where you go and like leave your little mark on it. You know, it's like it's religiosity. You have to give it its like biblical moment. And Taylor was like, no, let me remix and reimagine this.
I will hear that and I will accept that because I totally think you're right about Christmas music. I love like secular, I'll use that term, secular Christmas music being like redone a million times. Like I love listening to like weird punk rock versions of like On the 12th Day of Christmas and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to religious songs, people don't do that. People do not take...
it's like the national anthem. Just leave it alone.
Right. Just leave it as it is. The only person who could fuck with it is Jimi Hendrix. And if you're going to come at me and say that what Taylor did to Silent Night is what Jimi Hendrix did to the national anthem, that's fucking insanity.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor's version of Silent Night, supreme artistry. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't hate it, but I totally agree with you on that point.
Her cover of Last Christmas, I would say, is probably the best cover on Sounds of the Season.
Yeah. Agree, just because it's like especially back then it like suited her whole vibe, like songs about love.
Yeah.
So I was like, this
was made for her.
It just makes sense. Yeah, exactly. So I also like that cover a lot.
It's just bizarre to me that Christmas Is When You Were Mine manages to live in this album. Like the rest of it is like pretty terrible. And then we have this like one song that makes the entire thing like worth the effort.
Well, that's the song that I kind of like, that's why I wanted her to redo Sounds of the Season, because I feel like Christmas Is When You Were Mine with 2021 vocals would have been out of this fucking universe.
Oh, it would have sent me into an absolute tailspin. And don't you think that 'Tis the Damn Season is like the spiritual successor to Christmas Is When You Were Mine?
I do. Yeah. No, I totally think that those songs are linked.
Which is my favorite thing in the entire world. If you told me like before this whole re-recording Hullabaloo that she would be writing a follow-up, I would be like, no way. But she's
and she gave you a gift. She gave you a beautiful Christmas gift. We cannot
thank
deny
you. Thank you to the birthday girl who saved my life. All right. So up next, we have a surprise for you. And we thought that this would be a fun thing to do. Well, Madeline, you know what the surprise is. Yes. People have been asking us for basically, I think, since the inception of the pod to do our top 10 Taylor songs of all time. So we were like, okay, let's do it, but let's put a twist on it. So Madeline and I are going to reveal one by one from 10 to number one, our favorite Taylor Swift songs, but the other person has concocted a list of what we think their top favorite songs are. So I have made a list of what I think are Madeline's top 10, and she's made one for me. Now, this has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I found that doing your top 10 was way easier than doing mine.
Well, here's my thing about doing yours is when I was making yours, I was like, okay, I know songs that Zach likes. I know songs that Zach loves, but would this song be in his top 10? I did not know that answer. So I just kind of went with my gut. And I said, I think that Zach loves the song a lot. I'm putting it on. I hope that I'm at least sort of right. But I also, I didn't tell you this, but I wanted to redeem myself in the case that I'm totally wrong. I also made a list of songs that you fucking hate. So I can prove that I know some things about you in case I'm completely wrong about my top 10.
Oh my God, I wish you told me that you did that. I would have done that for you, but I could probably do it off the top of my
head. Know, yeah, off the top of your head, I bet you could do it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with you. So for number 10 on Madeline's top 10 list, I put the song, okay, I'll give my reason for it. I put Cold as You, and I put it there because you've been going on about it forever and ever and ever, but I know that you're like a little bit older, a little bit wiser, but you still have a piece of you that goes absolutely fucking insane to the song. So was I right?
So here's what I will say to you. Additionally to my top 10, I also curated a tiny little list of honorable mentions.
Me too.
And I did that only because I, top 10s make me a little uncomfortable. It's not because I can't say what my top 10 is. It's because I really don't want to leave these other songs that are just as important to me out. I would love to do a top 30. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I made an honorable mentions list. And for your information, Cold as You is not number 10, but it is technically number 11. So,
okay, so I was close.
Yeah, you were very, very close. That's almost creepy.
Wow, I feel like I'm really gonna slay it. So what was your number 10?
My number 10 is Sad, Beautiful, Tragic.
Oh god damn it, now the rest of my list gets all fucked up.
And I put it as number 10 because, well, I do fuck with this song heavy and hard. It's definitely a top 10 song for me, but it's on the bottom of the list because it's not the kind of song that you go for all the time. When I mm-hmm. think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I fucking love that song so bad. But it's like, it's a mood song. So that's why it's at the bottom of the list.
That's true. And this is what makes it so hard is the mood songs, because it's like, yeah, theoretically, exactly, in the abstract, this is the best song of all time. But like, do I listen to it every single day?
Oh, so hard.
Okay, so for your number 9, I put down Peace, because I know that this is like up there in one of your favorites, or at least it was for some time, but it's definitely not your favorite from Folklore or Evermore. Am I right?
So Peace is an honorable mention.
No! God, oh, damn it.
Fun as fuck. I have to tell you, I'm loving this right now. So at Peace, I do love Peace. I can't listen to it without crying my motherfucking eyes out. It gets me mm-hmm. hard.
Yep.
I love it. You were almost right. But it's kind of like in the middle of my honorable mentions. They're not like numbered necessarily, but in terms of like when I thought of them, I feel like that kind of matters. But in my actual number 9 place, I have So It Goes.
Fuck my life. This is really ruining my ranking. It Goes is on my ranking, but it's not at number 9 for you.
Well, I put it at number 9 because I would definitely have to agree with my own opinion, which is that it's not like the greatest song ever. Like, I can admit that, but it's personal to me. It's like, this song was actually the first song that Mason and I ever called one of quote unquote our songs.
Oh, so
yes, that is why it is in my top 10.
I'm so mad at you right now.
Okay. Wait until we get New Year's. You're gonna beat my ass, I bet.
Okay, number 8. I put Cowboy Like Me, but I have a feeling it's a lot higher than number 8.
Cowboy Like Me is an honorable mention.
What? Are you kidding?
This is so funny. Yes, it's an honorable mention. I didn't put it at the top because although it is at the very top of my Evermore ranking, like I said in my Instagram stories, it unscrews a screw in my head. I can't listen to it like that. Not the way I listen to it. Like, these top 10s are like, these motherfuckers are on repeat. I can't do that with Cowboy Like Me. It will send me into the mental institution. Mm-hmm. So that is why it's an honorable mention, because this I do love
really,
it. But
this is really going to change my ranking of yours. Okay, so 7 and 6 for me, in your opinion, 7 was So It Goes and 6 was Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. Now we know they both made it, just not in those positions. So what was your 7 and 6?
So number 7, and it surprises me because I know that you were shocked to discover this song is in my top 10. It is Don't Blame Me is number 7.
Are you
I okay? am dead serious. I am mentally unwell.
Yes, you are.
I have to tell you.
Yes, you are.
Don't Blame Me, number 7. This song sends me into a higher dimension. I will be like, it's kind of low in the top 10 because I do sometimes sort of forget about it. But when I remember that this shit goes off, it's like I only listen to this song for like a week straight. It is one of my favorite songs of all time.
I was genuinely so shook when you told me how much you loved that song and the fact that I went so long in my life without knowing that you did.
Here's my thing is that I distinctly remember when Reputation came out, everybody in agreement that Don't Blame Me is one of the best songs on the record. What happened to that?
Me too. I probably said it.
And now all of a sudden you're shocked. Listen, the song goes to a place where she's never gone before. And for that, we have to pay her respect. She went to church.
That's true. But here's the thing. I feel like you, when you hear a Taylor Swift album, you pick your favorites pretty quickly and they stay true. Like, you know what you like. For me, I'm all over the place. Like,
okay, I feel like that's true.
I called Cowboy Like Me boring when Evermore came out and now I'm obsessed with it. So I see where we differ here.
Yeah, no, because I'm that way about like everything. It's like if I listen to a song and I decide it's boring, it's pretty much going to be boring forever. It's rare for me to switch from that opinion. I mean, I've done it before, but not usually. I usually always know, like, it varies, like it shifts a little bit, but when I hear a song, like So It Goes was the first song I listened to from Reputation, and I said this shit fucks in like 20 different areas.
Yeah, it really does.
And it stayed true.
So what's your number 6?
So my number 6 is Willow.
For fuck's sake. Like, this is really like screwing like, up my literally, list.
Like,
I'm getting them right though. That's a good thing.
You are. You're like on the target, just a little bit off. I put Willow at number 6 because fuck it. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
because know life was of Willow and you it bent right to your wind. I mean, that's why.
Right. So I flex with that. It's my number 1 on Evermore. So I was like, well, if it's my favorite song on one of my favorite records, it definitely has to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to place it though. I was like, I don't know where the fuck. So it's just at number 6 because I don't know why.
Okay. Well, I think I might get the next one right. I really think that this one is okay. Right. Especially given that you're talking about songs you listen to all the time and songs that bang. My number 5 is Cruel Summer.
You're wrong.
What? I'm literally going sicko mode about this.
And you couldn't be more wrong. Guess what number 5 is? It's Dear John.
Are you? I'm like, my mouth is agape. I am just
Did you have
shook.
Dear John on your list?
I had it in it honorable mentions for you. I had it in your 10 and then I just didn't put it in because I was like, there's no way she still listens to this.
Oh, baby. I listened to it and I appreciate the fuck out of it to this day. I told you, I've said a million times, Dear John is what All Too Well wishes she could be. And I still believe that.
Agreed.
Even in spite of the 10 minute version. So yes, number 5, top 5, Dear John. The best track 5, by the way, of all time.
Yes, agreed. It is the best track 5 of all time. I'm like a little bit upset that was wrong. Why don't we do number 4? Your number 4, okay, I'm not even going to say like be confident about it, okay? My number 4 for you is Wildest Dreams.
Oh, you got it! Yes!
What?
Yes!
Wow!
Oh my god. Exactly. Number 4 is Wildest Dreams. You fucking nailed it on the head.
The rush of euphoria I just got.
Oh, that's crazy. I'll be honest with you. I was starting to think, is he going to get any of these right? But you got me. Number 4, Wildest Dreams. In my opinion, the best song on 1989. But it's worth it to note, Style was an honorable mention.
Yes. That song, I was wondering how you were going to rank Style, but I know that Wildest Dreams
good.
Is your shit.
Yeah, it's my shit. All right, cool.
Well, now I'm confused because I had Willow in your top 3. So I'm pretty confident that my top 2 are right and they might just be flipped. But for the third place, I really don't know what it's going to be. So I put Willow. What is your number 3 song, Madeline?
My number 3 song is Ready For It.
What? Oh my. You are a little rat. You are
Be my number 2, but it got superseded by a little ditty that some of you are familiar with. My number two is Hoax.
Okay, yeah, I have your number two is Hoax.
You have number, okay, perfect. Because, yeah, so I got, you know, it. It's like you can't put it as number one because it's too fucking depressing. But when I do listen to it, I do listen to the shit on repeat because I'm mentally unwell. So that is one saddest shit song that I can handle listening to again and again because I have no like personal
it's vague
sadness about it. It's vague. That's why.
You can just like lose your mind in like a nice way. So your number one, I really don't know what your number one is. I thought that Ready For It, you keep saying that it's your favorite song. So I'm like, how is that not number one? If it's The Very First Night, Madeline, I'm going to kick your ass.
No, The Very First Night is an honorable mention. And I only put it as an honorable mention because it's too soon for mm-hmm. me to really rank it with the list. I'm just like, I can't honestly say it's my top 10.
I was
going to
put Better Man in mine, but I didn't because it's a vault song.
Right. So it's too soon. We can't go there yet. But my number one favorite Taylor Swift song of all time is Cruel Summer.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. That makes sense to me. I felt like five was a little bit too low.
I don't know what it is. It blows my mind every time that a song from Lover is my number one favorite song mm-hmm. of all time.
That is crazy. But I get it because it's Cruel Summer.
The vibes are fucking immaculate. And it's mm-hmm. it's a song that you can listen to anywhere, anytime. It's a party banger. You can listen to it when you're crying your eyes out too. That's the magic of the song. Yep. You're crying your eyes out or you're having the best time of your life.
You can play it for people who hate Taylor Swift and they go sicko mode.
Sicko mode? Question mark? Yeah, no, so good. So that is my top 10.
Wow. Okay, so I got two right. I got number two Hoax and number four Wildest Dreams.
But I feel like you did pretty well because you got all the songs right. They just weren't in the right order or they were honorable mentions, which still counts.
That's true. Now, I think you're going to kick my ass when you hear my top 10 because I'm so fickle. That's the problem is that I really had to try and not be fickle and like really think about what I listen to all the time. And it was a journey. So what did you think was my number 10?
Okay, so this song I almost didn't put on the list. But I thought to myself, I know that Zach loves this song. So I said, number 10, Soon You'll Get Better.
Oh, wow. That wasn't even an honorable mention for me.
No!
But you're right. You're right. I do love that song. I just find it disrespectful to rank it. If you forced me to rank it, it would probably crack the top 10.
Okay. So I was almost right. I was.
No, you're going to kick my ass when I tell you what it is.
Okay, tell me.
Today was a fairy tale.
Go fuck yourself. Because here's the thing. I kept seeing it because the way that I did yours in specific was I went to every album and I looked at the track list and said, okay, what songs do I know that Zach loves? And I kept seeing Today Was a Fairy Tale every time I went to Fearless to look at it again. And I was like, what if I put it on as a joke? That's what I literally said. What if I put it on as a joke? And you put it on unironically. All right. Okay. All right. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
I keep saying this to you, Madeline, but like, if you can't feel this magic in the air, then you're not equipped to understand what Today Was a Fairy Tale means to the Republic of the World. I'm just saying that this song makes me feel the magic in the air, and I have been feeling it for around 11 years now. And since that hasn't stopped, it deserves to be in the top 10.
I think that what you deserve is a trip to the loony bin because that's insane. I don't even want to dignify this with a response.
I mean, it is kind of crazy that it's in my top 10. As soon as I put it in there, it was a last minute addition and I was like, you know what? It feels right. It feels right.
Well, okay. If it felt right, I'll give you that, but I am speechless.
What do you think my number nine is?
Okay. Now I wasn't sure about this one, but I know that it's one of your favorite songs of all time. Briefly, it was your favorite from Folklore. And I put Illicit Affairs.
Wow. Yes.
Don't tell me that's not even on the rank.
It's not on the rank.
Why are you always telling me you love these songs and then you're taking it back?
Because I tell you that my mind changes. I am fickle. This is why I understand why you were saying it's so hard to rank my songs because I'm so two-faced. I'm a little bitch when it comes to my favorite songs.
What's your fucking number nine? Let's hear it.
my number nine is right where you left me.
Okay. That is on my list, but it's a lot higher up.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, I had to put this. My thing is like, I felt so guilty putting songs from Evermore and Folklore like high up. I don't know why, but I just felt like it hasn't been long enough for like my all time favorite Taylor Swift songs. Like Lover only barely makes the mark in terms of like songs that, you know, albums that qualify to be ranked like that. But Right Where You Left Me has just literally been in my head since it happened. And it's so Red inspired. It had to be there.
Okay, I respect it. I respect it.
Numero eight.
Okay, so this song, the reason that I ranked it in the eighth place and not a little bit higher up is because I thought to myself, this is a song that Zach loves, but it's from a different era. It's from a different time. Mm. It is Forever and Always.
Not a lion.
Is it not even on there, is it?
No.
I want to punch you in the nose.
No,
tell
okay.
me you love these songs.
So here's my thing. I was either going to put Forever and Always in the top three, or it wasn't going to be in there at all. I listened to it again and again and again, and I was like, wow, it just doesn't bang the way it used to. But it is like number 11. It is my honorable mention.
I have to tell you, I feel the exact same about Forever and Always. It used to be in my all-time, and there's a ton, by the way, there's a ton of Speak Now songs in my honorable mentions, mm-hmm. because they, those songs were like my life for so long, and now I'm older and they don't smack. Like, I mean, I can't listen to Enchanted anymore and feel the way I did when I heard it when I was 17 years old.
You can't feel the same.
I mean, I fuck with that song hardcore. I still listen to it, but I don't feel the same way that I used to feel about it. So that's how I kind of thought that you felt about Forever and Always. And I was right, but I put it in the ranking, which was incorrect.
Okay. No, I understand why you put it there, though, because that's a song that I really, you know, the Holy Trinity, like I go on about it all the time. So I get it. My number eight was All You Had to Do Was Stay.
Okay. That is in my ranking and is higher up by a significant degree.
Oh, well, you know, I get it again, because I bang on about that song all the time, but it's there. Yes. It's in the top 10. So
okay.
You're correct.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. So
number seven,
is Cowboy Like Me.
No, it's not.
I'm going to punch you in the fucking, is it on the list at all?
Nope. I told you, I feel uncomfortable ranking Evermore and Folklore and Right Where You Left Me gets the spot.
Okay.
Number seven, and I'm surprised you didn't get this, is Dress.
Well, guess what? Guess what position Dress is in? Number six. I was almost right.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there.
So far, you have three correct.
Yeah, well, Dress was actually a really easy one for me to rank. I was almost right. Mm-hmm. And the reason that it was easy for me to rank is because I remember every motherfucker's favorite song from Reputation. It's loud. I was like, I know what Zach likes from rap. I almost put Call It What You Want on there, but I was like,
you're right. I almost put Call It What You Want and I didn't. It's in my honorable mention.
Okay. Well, look at us. See, we have the same mind in some ways.
We're in it. We know each other at this point.
We know each other. Yep.
But my number six was Enchanted, which I bet surprises
you. Oh, it does surprise me. It does surprise. I would not. I honestly, when I was looking at Speak Now, that didn't even cross my mind. When I was looking at Speak Now, I don't think I have anything from Speak Now on your listy.
You have made some mistakes.
Okay, that scares me. I have to tell you, I'm disappointed in this revelation.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Really
well, you're I was wrong. I'm fucked. Okay. Well. All right.
I put Enchanted at number six because, for me, this is like the Taylor Swift song, like of all time. It really reminds me of my teen years. It reminds me of like having a crush on somebody, and that. The bridge, like where she starts duetting with herself. I have no words. It's amazing.
Everything you just said is 100% the truth. It is the Taylor Swift song.
It is. Okay. Number five, yep. Go.
Okay. I already know I'm wrong. I don't even know why I'm bothering. I went back and fucking forth about this song. It's like, I know that if he did put it on here, it's high, but not too high. Number five is The One. Question mark. I know I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. And it's like, yeah.
But again, the one was a phase for me. Now it's like not even in my top five from Folklore, which is insane.
Why are you doing this to me? You're making a fool out of me.
My number five was Cruel Summer.
Okay. Respectable. I didn't, it's fucked up because again, that was one of those ones I looked at and I was like, okay, I know that Zach loves Cruel Summer, but it's also on Lover. And I was just like,
yeah, it's the only song on Lover that made it. And I felt weird about it.
Okay. Well, that shocks me. I have to tell you, it's the only song from Lover. Okay. Well, I got another one on here. Okay. Well, I'm fucked up.
Okay. Number four, right. Go.
Okay, so already I know this is wrong because my number four for you was Right Where You Left Me.
Yeah, that was wrong.
And what is yours, sir?
If you didn't put this on your list, there is something wrong with you. But my number four was If This Was a Movie.
Well, I've got some. It's not even on the fucking list.
What is wrong with you?
I don't
All
know.
All I ever do I is know. Bang on about If This well, but, was
listen,
a movie.
There's been a lot of songs. Listen up. There's been a lot of songs that you bang on about that I put on this list that you were shocked to hear that I put on this list. So don't tell me you bang on about it because that doesn't mean anything, apparently.
Okay, but at least I start If This Was a Movie bridge discourse like at least five times a year.
Remember when we said that, I think I said this specifically, if I ever met Taylor, I would ask her what the actual lyrics to the bridge of If This Was a Movie are. This
yeah,
is how
I was
often
supposed
we've talked
to.
About this song.
And yeah, exactly. Yes, I was supposed to. I so forgot. This song is to me, I don't even know how to describe it. I listen to it all the time, like constantly. It's always on repeat.
It's funny because I would say the same thing, but I don't have it even in my honorable mentions. I don't know why. I guess I just feel like, I don't know why. That's so
strange.
Well,
that's strange. The thing. There's like, songs. I think If This Was a Movie is a good song, but I can concede it's not a great song. Like it's not her best writing. It's not her best melody.
No, I mean, it's not terribly original, but there's something there.
Third place.
So the fact that this isn't even on your fucking list absolutely appalls me, but it is Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Oh yeah. Well, see, I get why you put it there.
Zachary, see, you understand, but you don't even put it on there. So explain.
It was in my
me.
Honorable mentions after Forever and Always. It's my first honorable mention.
Okay, well at least I have that. I put it at number three because I was like, I know this bitch loves this fucking song.
I do.
Okay, I look like a fucking idiot. I look like a fucking fool.
Well, say I know. Saying Goodbye is Death by a Thousand Cuts, though. It is.
It is. I feel like I have your number one pretty right, but I don't fucking know. Your number two is gonna blow me away. I put All You Had to Do Was Stay.
As my number two?
Yeah.
Wow. I get it.
Why
I,
is this wrong? You bang on. All right, wait. Okay. Did you tell me what your number three was?
Nope.
No, okay, let's go back. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Let's go back.
My number three is Dear John, which
okay,
I feel like
it.
Should also
it.
Not come as a surprise. Like we love that song. We talk about it all the time. It's the best. I also revisit it a lot and listen to it constantly. Sometimes like if I'm not in the mood to sit through 6 minutes, I'll just skip straight to the bridge. Do you ever do that? Just go straight to the bridge.
Oh.
Get it going.
Yep. Get my adrenaline rush.
Yeah. If I want a little bit of lead in time, second chorus to get into it. My number and I can't believe that you didn't get this on your list at all, is Last Kiss.
All right. I'll take that attack because that's true. I cannot believe that I didn't even think about that. I completely forgot that you love that song.
I think that we all know what my number one is. I think we all know it.
Yep. It's
Holy Ground.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know what? At this point, I'm like, is Holy Ground even my favorite song? I've just been saying that it's my favorite forever and ever and ever and ever. Like I automatically go and put it there, but is it? I don't know.
I have these questions every fucking day. I question my top five even all the time.
Okay. I realize my top six has four Speak Now songs. I'm not a Speak Now stan. I have one song from Red on here. Am I okay?
You need to look inward, my friend. Look within.
I don't know what's going on. This is like actually shocking to me. I mean, I almost put 22 on there. That really did come close. Let's do our honorable mentions. What were your honorable mentions, Madeline?
So starting from the top, working their way down, Cold as You, Enchanted, mm-hmm. Sparks Fly, Mine, honestly, Most of Speak Now, that's what I wrote, The One, Peace, The Very First Night, there she is, Style, Clean, you're gonna hate me for this one, but this is why we can't have nice things.
Oh, you fucking scumbag.
Cowboy Like Me and The Lakes.
Ooh, The Lakes. I feel like The Lakes is one of those rare songs that we share an undying love for.
I agree. Because The Lakes hits, it scratches an itch that there's literally no other Taylor Swift song on this planet. And everyone's like, hey, listen to it. It's so annoying and pretentious. It's like, well, no, it's not. Let's start there. She's doing a bit. You don't get it, obviously.
Start it first.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. I wish I could have ranked it in my top 10, but it's one of those ones where it's like, I don't really listen to it that much, but when it comes on, I go ballistic. So
my honorable mentions were from top to bottom, Forever and Always. First, Death by a Thousand Cuts was the second. Then Begin Again.
Okay.
22. Our Song, The Last Time.
Love it.
7. Mirror Ball and Style.
Okay, nice. I actually almost put The Last Time as your number 10. Then I was like, does he really love that song that much? I was like, I don't know. So I took it off.
I'm kind of looking at my top 10 right now and being like, did I smoke like crack cocaine and write this?
No, I'm looking at mine. I mean, I feel confident.
Yours is
like
right.
My top five.
I kind of feel like yours is right.
I think I think you're right. I think it's just insane to me to look at my list and be like, Cruel Summer and Hoax are my two favorite songs ever of all time. That's insanity.
But I mean, the two genders.
The two fucking genders. The two Cruel states Summer of the human Hoax. Body. Yeah. So listen, let me fucking redeem myself and list off the songs that I know that you fucking hate. Okay, from the top.
Yeah.
Number one, King of My Heart, hate.
So, hate it.
Epiphany, hate. Mm-hmm. Number three, New Year's Day, hate.
Hate. Hate.
Number four, Daylight, hate. The Lucky One.
Yes!
And last but not fucking least is Dorothea.
Oh, I think that's number one at this moment. Okay.
Well, I didn't order them. I was just like, as soon as they came to me, I wrote them down.
That but, was very, yeah, very know, astute. I and I feel like I am a person who is more defined by the things that I hate than the things that I like.
No, I feel like that's true. You're always saying like, oh, the songs that I hate are like the songs that like express like joy or something like that. It's like, I don't think that's true. When I look at your hatred list, I don't see that, because you also like, I mean, you like 22. You like Today Was a Fairy Tale. Those are very, very happy songs.
True.
And I feel like Dorothea is not very happy. And you know what? And of course,
I think it's about sounds. For me, it's not even really about lyrics. It's about how the song sounds. Like, it's the sonic landscape of it.
Right. And it's like looking at a song, like, you hate New Year's Day and Daylight. That to me, mm-hmm. it's like, those are two sides of the same fucking coin.
Yes. They are the same song.
I put on, one time I was really drunk on New Year's Eve. And I repeatedly put on the jukebox for everyone to hear New Year's Day, and
I would have shot you on sight. Bar shooting, Madeline dead.
Yes. It's like weird because I do hate that song and I would say that, but apparently something is unlocked within me on New Year's. I'm like,
well, that makes sense. You kind of have to listen to it then. It's like when you turn 22, even if you don't like it, you're gonna listen to 22.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So it's not that much of a mystery. And then looking at like, you hate King of My Heart. That's got to be about just the way. I mean, also,
it sounds a bleep bloop song. You miss Paper Rings. That's another one I really detest.
Well, I don't acknowledge that. So you're just gonna have to. Sorry, I don't believe that. I don't respect it. It's not there.
It's not real.
Maybe if you ever had a man who said to you.
Well, you know what? I never have.
But listen, and the day that you do, you're going to say to yourself, wow, Madeline was right. I would marry this man with paper rings.
I hate this song. It just, but to me, it's the sound. It's not the content of the song. It's like, it's so it this and Dorothea to me sonically are on two sides of the same coin.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I believe is that Paper Rings is camp, pure and simple. And you can't look camp right in the eye, can you?
I can.
You can't look it in the eye.
I love London Boy, which is like the campest camp
okay.
song.
All right. I expect. Okay.
London Boy should somewhere. Have been an honorable mention, actually. That should have gone on the list.
I almost feel the same way about myself because that song gives me the kind of joy that I feel like no other song can. The serotonin lift. I just love doing the bridge the most of all. Like when that comes on, yes. I turn it up to 100 and going ballistic.
Well, also, I mean, I think what we love so much about it is that we know that this is dead ass serious. This is not a joke. It's not
exactly.
satire. This is Taylor Swift. And if you don't understand that essence, you don't understand this song.
No, she loves her London boy. And she got on the rooftops and screamed it. She's not kidding. She wants
And she
to
listed
go
all the places she's been to in London. Those are all the places yeah. she's been. She and wants to be shown Hackney. She is the Tennessee Stella McCartney. Like, it's true.
He doesn't, does it? She said, it does not have to be Louis V on Bond Street. I just want to be with my London boy.
It doesn't.
She's not kidding.
Have to be. When the world realizes that it doesn't have to be Louis V up on Bond Street, then, you know, then we'll make some changes in the society.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Taylor Swift should be the president. Because she understands us.
she knows what we need in this life. I almost put Better Man in my top 10 as well. It was sitting there for a long time before I took it out.
I feel like I looked at it for you and I was like, but then I wasn't sure because again, it's too soon.
It's too soon.
But
I cannot believe there are like 5 Speak Now songs in my top 10. I didn't even think about that.
These are the kinds of things whenever you do like one of these rankings, it like really makes you look at yourself because I've definitely like
it does. It makes one go inward.
I remember I used to do song rankings like all the time, like when I think around like Red Era, and mm-hmm. I would see like most of my top 10 would be like fucking Fearless songs. And I'd be like, why?
Yeah. Where did you come from?
Yeah, like what is going on now? Obviously that's no longer the case. I don't have anything from Fearless in my top 10 or even in my honorable mentions. It just doesn't smack anymore for me.
I know.
I don't know what
Fearless
to tell you.
I have such a weird relationship with Fearless now that I do love. Also, I can't believe you forgot to put me in songs that I hate.
Well, that's not, see, the thing about that is that that's
everyone
not like a personal
that.
Zach opinion. It's like, mm-hmm. that's just how it is. It's like, I was like, it was stuck in my head the other day. And I was like, I, for the life of me, could not remember how the pre-chorus went. I was like, baby doll, when it comes to a lover. like I don't
you forgot
know how
the promise
goes.
That you'll never find another like me. You forgot
no,
that part?
Oh, that's, huh? No, the I thought I promised that you'll never find a lover like me. Is the opening of the song?
Oh yeah, I hate that song
she say,
so
no,
much.
No, she does say it again before she goes into the chorus. See, now this is coming together. I know she says something.
I respect
about,
you for not knowing how me goes. I wish that I had the same kind of power.
Well, the only thing that I like about me is the only thing that she removed, which is "Hey kids, spelling is fun." That was camp. It was the only thing that let us know this song is not serious. That was the only thing, and she took it out. So now everybody thinks she's dead ass. It's like,
that was that really was a mistake. That was a mistake. Also, like the fact that she even like made a revision shows like that she knew she fucked up. Like I think she knew that once she put me out, the world shifted on its axis, and she would have to do something fucking amazing to get back in our good books. That's why we have Folklore Evermore. It's because of me. I'm telling you.
I definitely believe that. I think that she was like in hindsight kind of embarrassed by me. And do you remember when Joel Little was viciously attacked on Twitter?
He deserved
it. And yeah, and somebody said like, oh, you should have kept that one in the vault or something like that for me. And he was like, oops, got me or something like that. Like he's well aware of the fact that me is a piece of trash on the side of the road.
But we also know that he was a slave that just did her bidding. I mean, we can see in Miss Americana that it's not a collaboration. She's
always,
like, do this.
Always trying to pin it all on poor Joel. But it's like, he can't be all that bad because he did Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. He can't be that bad.
Taylor said, I want to write a song called Me. It's going to be a hit. He also did You Need to Calm Down. And he did, what was the other one? The Man. All the flops.
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay. See, I thought there was one more good one he did, but now I'm remembering there isn't. He only did one good one. And he also did that fucking terrible political song, Only the Young.
Only the Young. Yeah. Joe Little.
Worst song I've ever heard.
But yeah, we wanted to thank you all for your support throughout the year. I think we had a very successful, productive year. We hit 50,000 streams. We started our Instagram, which you should go follow because we're being straight up hilarious on there at Evolution of a Snake. Madeline likes to go crazy on the stories and I post memes on the feed. So it's really like the dream scenario.
It is. Yeah. No, I don't like to post on the feed and you don't like to post on the stories.
Exactly. So we've split the work perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you all for listening and we will see you in the new year. Promise with 2015 part one, maybe.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Godspeed.